understanding the gospel, right? Understanding the gospel series 2b, right? Understanding the gospel series 2b, we are looking on how the gospel was ministered in the Old Testament. So I said it's a continuation of 2a, how it was ministered in the Old Testament. So we are looking at that. We continue from there. Okay, let's open our Bible to Second Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 into 16. And from childhood you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And in verse 15, it said, from a child, from childhood. That word childhood is the word breakfast. Breakfast. From an infant. From a child. Breakfast. We'll look at that as we discuss sons of adoption or our sonship. I have some teachings to look at. Hallelujah. We'll discuss that. That will be for next month. We'll discuss that. Hallelujah. So we still have three more teachings to look at in the course of the year. Three or four important teachings to look at. We still have the spirit within, the spirit upon, right? The promised land. Another one again. The sons of adoption. And yet we have the glory that excels. So we look at all that. All the greater glory. Hallelujah. So he says, from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. For salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul, in commending Timothy's understanding of Scripture, calls him wise. You know, that is the word wise. Sophizo. We saw this in the last series, but let's just look at it again. Using the word sophizo. Sophizo is the word that shows one's level of skillfulness. Sophizo, that is the word wise. It shows one's level of skillfulness or expertise. One's level of skillfulness or expertise. It is from a Greek word. Sophos. From the word sophos. The word sophizo is from the word sophos. That word sophos is used for one who is knowledgeable or one who is vast in knowledge. Sophos. Who is vast in knowledge. You have references from Matthew 11, verse 25. Where Jesus said, you've hidden these things from the wise. Wise. From the wise. One who is vast in knowledge. From the wise. Parents are hidden from the wise. That is the word sophos. You've hidden this thing from the wise and the prudent, and have revealed them to babes. You have it also in chapter 23 of Matthew, verse 34. In Romans 1:14, you have it there. Paul uses it in Romans chapter 1, verse 14. He says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and unwise. This is the word sophos. Romans 1:22, you have it also. I have it in 16:19, Romans 16:19, 16:27 of Romans. It's used most of the time in Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. Remember, the church at Corinth is a church of the church in Corinth. We said they are vast in the knowledge, right? Right? Those guys were, they are vast because it's a commercial hall. So you have the those who are knowledgeable in Corinth. Do you understand? So you find those who are knowledgeable in Corinth. Do you understand? So you have it in 1 Corinthians 1:19, 1:20, 1:25. We spoke about the wise. The word in its wisdom did not know God. 26:27. That is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, 18:19-20. Chapter 6, verse 5. In 1 Timothy, we have it in chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Timothy 1:17. Used to describe God, he said, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God alone. I mean, to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. This for God. In James 3:13, James will put it like this. He said, Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. He uses the word wise. You find it also in Ephesians 5 verse 15 and Jude 1:25. So it shows that. So why I brought out this for us to see is that that word sophizo also has in its context, one who is, as in, it shows a vast, when or is used to show one's cleverness, and in that cleverness you have knowledge. That one is knowledgeable. Or let me put it like this. Let me put it how I have it here. In that word, sophizo, it shows Timothy's understanding to details. Do you understand? It shows Timothy's understanding to details. How scriptures were, or Timothy's understanding to details, scriptural interpretation, or how scriptures are interpreted. So Paul will use that word to show how Timothy understands scriptures to details. And how he presents it. Do you understand? So he said, from a child you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise. Do you understand? So Timothy's skillfulness was concerning salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? So you could narrow down his skillfulness to his understanding of salvation, which is what? Wise scriptural everything. Do you understand? Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, when it talks about scripture, in verse 15, it says, you have known the Holy Scripture. That is the word hero. I mean, the word holy is the word heroes, which implies something sacred, right? Scripture is grammar, which is hero's grammar. That word grammar implies a writing. Let's take that word grammar. It's the word that implies a writing. The word grammar is used for what is specific. So we can say it implies a specific writing. You know that? A specific writing. So the reference here is on the writings of the prophet in the Old Testament scriptures.
No, the reference we are looking at, our reference here in Second Timothy chapter 3:15 is referring to the writings in the Old Testament scriptures, right? So what Paul is saying is that Timothy was able to see salvation in the words of the prophet. Do you understand me? So that means that the content, what the prophet wrote about, the detail, what they wrote down in details was salvation. Do you understand? They had salvation. Let's put it this way. Salvation was in view. Do you understand me? Salvation was in view. Why they wrote? So they had the event, like Moses would document event. They will write, you see the event, but you know it is skillfully written. I don't know if you understand. Salvation is skillfully written in those events. I don't know if you understand. Salvation is skillfully written in those events. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he goes into verse 16, now mentions again, say all scriptures. Now when he uses the word all scriptures, is the Greek word pasgraphe. You know, the word pass, we said must be used in context, right? Right? So most often and now, when you see the word pass, it implies what is said in context. Do you understand me? What is said in context. So you have to read in context to understand what that past is. When you hear all, you have to read in context. Look at what that all is. Do you understand? For example, we always see this example, but let's look at something else. Philippians chapter 3 verse 8. Okay, chapter 3 verse 8, where it says, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. When you hear things like, when you hear all things, just what you can to put all these things, because you are reading in context. So, verses 3 down to verses 7 will give you what those all things are. Do you understand me? Verses 3 to verse 7 will tell you what those all things are. So you have to read in context. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 4, verses 12 into 13. He said, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you say I can do all things, you have to look at verses 12. Do you understand? So it will be, I can do all these things I've said. Are you hearing me? I can do all this. Not I can do all things. That means he can also kill and steal through Christ. And you say it's Christ that strengthens him. Do you understand? So don't read it out of context. You have to look at it in context of what he's saying. Are you with me? I have to look at it in context of what he's writing about. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Verse 34 into 37. Let's look at Romans 8, 34 into 37. It says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nor nakedness, nor peril, nor sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed. All day long we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, when he said in all these things, we are more than conquerors, what is he referring to? What is he referring to? You just have to read in context. Do you understand me? You have to read in context. And all these things, so you have to go back. Do you understand? Go back some few verses before. Do you understand? And you read in context. You see what all these things are. Hallelujah. So never take words out of context. Never. So when you see all scripture, it must be in context. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you must read it in context. So when you say all scriptures, all graphe, in verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, will be all scriptures where you find salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So you just go to verses 15 and see what the all scripture is. Where you find salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Do you understand me? Very important. So the all scripture will be all grammar. Do you understand me? The all scripture will be the grammar in verse 15, which is salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That content that has salvation. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Glory to God. So that means that if you say, listen, you say all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, meaning you will say, we can say the writings of the prophet has as part of his content salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You said in the writings or in the writings of the prophet, or you said the writings of the prophet as its content, has in its content, or part of its content salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So meaning you will see salvation and the content of the writings of the prophet. Do you understand? You'll find salvation there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Paul said, these are the content where you have salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. These are the ones inspired by God. Do you understand? These are the content of salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus is God inspired. Do you understand that? Is God inspired. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the words in the words of the prophet, you find salvation. In John 5:39, he said, you search the scriptures, for you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me. So Jesus said the scripture bore witness, testified of him. He said, but you will not come to me. Do you understand? So the scripture testifies of him. In verse 45, he said, do not think that I accuse you, but there's one who accuses you. He said, Moses in whom you trust. Say, for if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. Verse 46. He said, for he wrote of me. So, very important. In Moses' writing, you will find Christ in his writing. Do you understand me? So, in the writing of Moses, you have Christ in it. In Luke 24:25, Jesus came to them and he said, O fools and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets that spoke. He said, ought not the Christ to have suffered this sin and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Make sure you are opening it too. In verse 45, he says, in verse 44 rather, and he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled. We were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So, we were written concerning him. So, listen to this. So, we can say that Christ is the major theme of the prophetic scriptures. Generally, Christ is the major theme of the prophetic scriptures. Or you say the message of Christ was or is their message. Their message is the message of Christ. Hallelujah. And this is the same thing Paul is communicating here. When Jesus said he expounded unto them in all the scriptures,
is referring to what Genesis to Malachi. Do you understand? It's referring to what Genesis to Malachi. Now, this is what Paul is saying in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, again, verse 15. It says, from childhood you've known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise. Right? Through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, what Paul is saying is that salvation is through faith. Right? In Christ Jesus. Salvation is through faith in Christ Jesus. That's what I say. So he's able to make you wise for salvation. True faith, which is the faith. So salvation is true faith. Do you understand that? Both in the old and in the new. Do you understand that? Salvation is true faith in Christ Jesus. And you will find it available in the Old Testament. Or in the writings of old. You will find it available in the Old Testament. Meaning you will find salvation through faith. Or salvation that is true faith in Christ Jesus, you find it available in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament era. Genesis to Malachi, you find it there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So a quick one. From the last series and what we've said thus far. We said, what is ministered in the Old Testament is Christ, right? In the Old Testament era, is Christ, right? Right? So, if Christ is ministered, that implies that salvation was available. We said that too, right? Salvation was available in the Old Testament. Was available. Since it is Christ that is ministered, because once it's Christ ministered, that means salvation, it was ministered. And that means salvation was available. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. So, since what was ministered is salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, that means the message of Christ was preached, right? Which we have accepted in the lips of the prophet. But when I look at the lips of the prophet in their writings, you know, you know what is in the lips of the prophet in their writings, because what they wrote, they first spoke. Do you understand? So when I look at the lips of the prophets in their writings, I will find the message of Christ. I'm actually doing a little underground work for tomorrow. So when I look at the lips of the prophet, I will find the message of salvation in their words. Do you understand this? Okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we say we are looking at understanding the what? The gospel. This will be a look at on how or a look at how the gospel was ministered in the Old Testament. Right? Okay, take that, a look on at how the gospel was ministered. Put a look at how the Spirit was ministered in the Old Testament. That would be better. Because we are dwelling on the Spirit, how the Spirit was ministered in the Old Testament. How the Spirit was ministered. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. So what we have in the lips of the prophet will be the message of Christ. So this is why. Now let's look at what John will do. John will look at the words of the prophet. Listen, and you know, this is the reason why, apart from the writer of Hebrew, John was the only one. In fact, the writer of Hebrew only used that word once. Now, John is the only one that used logos for Christ. The only one that used the word logos for Christ. Now, John will now see how Christ is ministered in the Old Testament in the lips of the prophets, right? Now, he will now say, that message, do you understand me? You know, the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews 1:1, will say, at various times, sundry times and various places, the prophets spoke to the fathers. But in these last days, they have spoken to us in his son, right? Now, listen. Now, he will look at the words of the prophet. And he will now say, that word, those words of the prophet, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Do you understand me? So he called those words of the prophet in John 1:1. Look at John 1:1. says, in the beginning was the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, we've looked at that severally. In the beginning was the Word. The Word points to God, right? And God is the Word. Now, he said, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, is nothing made that was made. In him was life. You know, look at the way he's using that logos. When you use the word logos, logos implies the entirety of a message. Do you understand me? The totality of a message. Now, where is the message in the mouth of the prophet? Do you understand me? Now he says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word is God. Meaning the Word, the message points to God. Do you understand me? And God is that message. Now, intelligently he put, he was in the beginning with God. Now he uses what? A pronoun to qualify the word, the logos. Do you understand? Aha. See, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him is anything made that was made. In him was life, and his life is the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. He said, now look at verse 6. He said, there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came to bear witness. This came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him may believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which give light to every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Hallelujah. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of faith and truth. Full of grace and truth. Sorry, I said faith. Hallelujah. Now look at that word, verse 5 into 7. He says, and the light shines in the dark places, right? Or in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Now, in verse 4, he says, in him, what is the him? In the life. In the logos, right? Was life. And this life is the light of men. Then I said, the light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Do you understand me? And look at verse 6. And there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He said, this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Now look at what John did intelligently. Now, in verse 5 to verse 7, the light was what the prophet bore witness of in their communication. In what they said, in what they wrote, they were bearing witness of the light. So when when John said, in him was life. In him was life, and the light is the light of men. He said, the light shines in the dark places, and darkness could not comprehend it. Right? There was a man sent, whose name is John. He came to bear witness of the light. Right? Say, he's not the light. Right? But was come to bear witness of that light. Now take note of that. John will not intelligently introduce John the Baptist. Now John the Baptist will stand in the shoes of all the prophets. Do you understand me? So John the Baptist there is standing in the shoes of all the prophets of old. You know, John the Baptist has a very unique ministry. We mentioned it while we're explaining baptism. That he has a very wonderful, or he has an important ministry. Why? Because his ministry as a prophet, or he's the only prophet that other prophets prophesied about. John the Baptist, as I have spoke about it. Right? Right? He is that voice in the wilderness. That's, do you understand? As I have prophesied about it, that's the voice in the wilderness.
crying, preparing the way of the Lord. So he's the prophet that other prophets spoke of. One, he is the prophet that points to Christ. One way you will know a prophet that prophesied about Christ or a prophet is that his message is concerning Christ, right? Luke 24, right? Right? They spoke of me, right? Hallelujah. Now, John's own prophecy is not only that he spoke about Christ, he points out who the Christ is. John 1:29. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." He points to Christ. Do you understand? So he has a very significant ministry in pointing out who the Christ is. So now what John now did is that John now used John the Baptist, or John the prophet. Hallelujah. John the Baptist to point or to represent every other prophet. Jonathan, he did that intelligently. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he referred to every other prophet in the Old Testament when he calls John the Baptist. He used him to represent them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when John used the word logos in verses 1 of John 1, he referred to all the messages of the prophet. And in verse 14, we will say that the message that word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Jonathan, hallelujah. So verse 14 is now the fulfillment of the words of the prophet. He dwelt amongst us. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to 2 Timothy again. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 again. Let's go back. So we are just setting the pace for tomorrow. It says, "And from childhood you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So, when we say salvation is through faith, listen, when we say salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, what it means is salvation. Or we can put it like this. When you hear salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, we can also put it this way. Salvation through faith in the message of Christ. Do you understand me? In the message of Christ. No, we are reading it as in the Old Testament. Do you understand me? So let me tell you what we are doing. I will still say it tomorrow. We are reading backwards. Do you understand? So to understand the Old Testament writings, you have to understand. Remember we said the epistles explain it. Right? So what you are doing is that you are reading backwards. So you are reading with the explanation, or you are reading the Old Testament with the answer. You are reading backwards to understand what the prophets have written. Do you understand? Intelligently, that is how you understand scriptures. So we can say salvation is through faith in the message of Christ. Right? In the message of Christ. And the message of Christ will contain the works of Christ. The message of Christ will contain the works of Christ. And when we look at the works of Christ, Luke 24:25, say, "O fools and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets as well. They say, ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" Right? And beginning at, "Ought not the Christ to suffer this and enter into his glory?" You find the works there. The suffering, which talks about the suffering and entering into his glory, is a shorthand for what? His death, burial, and resurrection. Right? Which Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 will summarize the scriptures
1 Corinthians 15. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Verses 3 into 4. It says, "For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." That Christ died for us. Now, remember, in the last series, we said, you will not, if you go through the scriptures, which is the Old Testament, you will not find Christ will die for our sins according to the scriptures. No. No. You will not find he will be buried for us according to the scriptures. No, you will not find that there. What Paul has just done, he has just given you a summary. That was what we said in the last series. A summary of the words of the prophets, right? Which would be similar to what Jesus said, suffering and entering into his glory. So what Paul is giving to us is the spirit interpretation of the scriptures. Do you understand me? The spirit interpretation of the scripture, because he said Christ died for us according to the scriptures. Died for our sins. That our sins is the spirit interpretation. According to the scriptures. Now look at it again. Kind of according to the scriptures, and he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So that will be Christ's work. Right? Hallelujah. That will be Christ's work. So in Christ's work, or in the message of Christ, we have in it the sufferings, of Christ. Doesn't mean the sufferings of Christ. Now, I'm using that word suffering as a shorthand, like Luke will use. The suffering will not be the death, the burial, the resurrection. Now, remember, when we talk about resurrection, we talk about his ascension, right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, meaning if Christ was the message of the prophet of old, then it shows that in their message they would have his suffering. They will have, listen, in their message you will have the suffering. In their message you will have his entering into glory, which is what his resurrection. And all this will be ministered as a promise. Do you understand? It will be ministered to them as a promise. So if it is ministered to them as a promise, that means salvation being available was a promise. Do you understand that? If it was ministered to them as a promise, that means salvation is a promise. It's available, but it's available as a promise. Romans 1. It says, "Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophet in the Holy Scripture." Use the word promise before. Pro epagiluman. From the word pro and epagilia. The word pro implies before. The word epagilia, take note of this. He said it refers to one's pledge to do something. One's pledge to do something where the recipient all does not need an impute, but to trust in the pledger, or what he that pledged has said he will do. Do you know that? Is one's pledge to do something where the recipient does not have an impute in the process, rather, but trust in what the pledger has said he will do. A promise. This is what I will do. Do you understand me? So, God, listen to this. And we're going to get something else. We're going to get two things from this now. It means that in the gospel, man has no impute, only to believe.
Do you understand me? Or in the
In the gospel, man's input is believing. Do you understand me? So God did the work.
God, it is His pledge.
Do you understand me? It is His pledge.
So in the Old Testament, listen, it will be, the gospel will be a promissory note. This is what God said He will do. Do you understand me? This is what God said He will do.
Man will have no input.
So that means if I look at the Old Testament and look at the way the gospel is ministered, I will see it as a promise concerning Christ Jesus. Take note of that word, as a promise concerning Christ Jesus.
Right? And if you remember in the last series, that's why you were supposed to have listened to it, we looked at the fact of the gospel, right? We looked at the fact of the gospel, went through from Acts of Apostles 2, 3, right? 5. We looked at the fact of the gospel. And we saw how it was ministered in the Old Testament, right? We saw examples from the Old Testament, how they ministered the same gospel. Now look at, from that, Romans 1. Where Romans 1, it says, Paul, a bond servant, right? He said, by the example of Christ, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Incarnation, right? Right?
Yes.
Incarnation. And when we look at the Old Testament, we say, when we see the tabernacle, Moses giving them the tabernacle was to point to his what? His incarnation, right? Right? Heaven and earth in the same place, right? Right? We said that now. You did not listen. That's right. Okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. So look at verse 4. He said, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So verse 4, Paul spoke about Jesus being declared the Son of God with the power. Declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Thus, in the message of the prophet as a promise was concerning Christ's resurrection from the dead. Do you understand me? Did you get what I just said now? We're looking at the facts. Now we saw that in verse 3, he said, one, concerning his Son Jesus, who is born of the seed of David, that is his incarnation, right? Right? And that born of the seed of David, in that incarnation, you have what? His death and burial. Right? We said it in the last series. That would be a shorthand for his death and burial. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Let's quickly rush to Hebrews 2. Verse 5. It says, for he has not put the world to come. He has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angel. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hand, and you have put on things in subjection under his feet. You have made him a little lower than the angel, or made him a little lower than the angel, talks about his humanity. So when he said, when he said in Romans chapter 1, verses 3, concerning his Son born of the seed of David, he's talking about his humanity. Do you understand me? His humanity. So in his humanity, he died. Jonathan, he died to kill death. He died. He was buried. And verse 4 now says he resurrected. Do you understand me? Aha. Do you understand that? Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 3 verse 26. We'll look at this very well tomorrow. We'll look at it again tomorrow. Look at what they said. And you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Now that means the resurrection also, we said it in the last week, the resurrection also is the fact of the gospel. I didn't say it's a fact though. His death is a fact. But the resurrection is the fact of the gospel. Take that from me, because we'll look at it quickly. Remember I said we are laying some foundations, right? The resurrection is the fact of the gospel. So if the resurrection is the fact of the gospel, that means if I look at the words of the prophets, remember the prophets spoke concerning Christ, right? The gospel was ministered in the Old Testament, right? So that means if I look at the word was ministered in the Old Testament, I will see the resurrection fact. Yes, we'll talk about how they ministered it, but I will see the resurrection fact. So the resurrection fact will be clear in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I will see Christ being raised from the dead, from the mouth of Abraham. Or I will see it in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Jonathan, I will see it from Genesis to Malachi, Christ raised from the dead. I will see that fact of Christ's resurrection from the dead. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. And we'll look at it together. We'll look at it together. We'll go through it one by one. We'll go through it. And I pray this time we'll have more time. It's not like we are fixing 2 weeks to... No. Even if we finish in January, we'll keep looking at it. We'll look at all the facts together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, let's move up a bit. So that means, with what Paul is writing in Romans chapter 1 verse 4, I need you to pay attention to what I want to say now. He says, and declare to be the Son of God with the power, with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Look at what Paul is about to say. Or what Paul is saying. Paul is saying the gospel is not in his death. Though the death of Christ is a fact of the gospel, but the gospel is not in the death of Christ, but in his resurrection. So it's in his resurrection that the gospel, that will find the gospel. Do you understand? That is why in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 12, look at what Paul will say. 1 Corinthians 15, 12. It says, now if Christ is preached, I want you to follow me immediately. I need you to follow me on this now. He said in verse 12, he said, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. Did you see that? Our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. And we have found false witness of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead do not rise. Hallelujah. And if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. So therefore, the basis of our belief is tied to the resurrection of Christ. The basis of our belief is in the resurrection. Listen, I want you to get something now. Listen to this. The basis of our belief is in the resurrection, right?
I want you to get what I want to draw now. I need your attention.
Therefore, listen, since the gospel was ministered in the as a promise in the Old Testament, right? And the resurrection is the basis of our belief. It then shows that because the gospel was ministered, salvation is available. Now, because of the resurrection being the basis of our belief, salvation is not possible
in the Old Testament. Because Christ was not arisen in the Old Testament.
I need to follow me. That's why I say I need your attention fully. Fully. I'll take it again. Now, we said, since Christ is ministered, I said it in the last series. I wonder why you people have started looking at me. I said it. I'm saying it again. Right? I'm going to say it again. But I didn't say it this way. I only just mentioned it on this topic. That salvation was available but not possible. But listen to this. Now, since the gospel is ministered, and from what we've seen, salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, found in the Old Testament, right? So, because the gospel is ministered, salvation is available. You understand? Very important. Because the gospel is ministered, okay, let's put it like this. Let's take it one step. The message of salvation is available, right? Right? The message of salvation is available, right? Because the gospel was ministered, right? And it was ministered as a promise. What I will do, says the Lord. Not smart, what the Lord will do, right? Right? Are you following me? What the Lord will do as a promise. So that makes salvation available. Now, because the basis of our belief, because salvation itself is in the resurrection. Do you understand that? That automatically means, though it was available then, because of the gospel preached as a promise, it was not possible because Christ had not died. So we're going to look at the writer of Hebrews shortly, how we explain it again to us. The writer of Hebrews has a lot to say concerning that in Hebrews 11. But let's look at something. So faith in the Old Testament will be seen as belief in hope of the resurrection. So what you find as faith in the Old Testament will be believing in the word hope of resurrection. Do you understand me? Will be the belief in the hope of the resurrection of Christ. And that hope will be in what God said He will do, that He will raise up Christ from the dead. Do you understand me? Did you get that? So, when you see faith, the judge shall live by faith. The judge shall live by faith will mean the judge shall live in the faithfulness of what God will do, in that God will raise up Christ from the dead. So, their faith was a hope. So that's why in Hebrews 11, he would have said, now faith is the substance of things they hope for. Not hoping for something material, but they hope for in the resurrection. God raising Christ from the dead. Do you understand? So, salvation in the Old Testament, or faith in the Old Testament, will be hoping for what God will do, in that He will raise up Christ from the dead. Did you get that? So let's look at Hebrews 11 quickly. We're looking at the fact that it was not possible, right? So the Abraham in the Old Testament, I didn't say today, in the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, in their time, in the Old Testament, they hoped, they never God's salvation while they were alive. Do you understand? They never got salvation while they were alive, but it was available. They believed in it. Do you understand?
And that is the response of a man when the gospel is preached. We'll see that shortly.
Let's look at Hebrews 11 quickly. Look at verses 13. Now, after speaking about those guys, look at what Jesus said. He said, all these died in faith. Did you see that? They all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, he said, having, listen to this. He said, all died in faith, not having received the promise. What is the promise that they never received, that they haven't received? The what? The resurrection, right? That is the promise, the message, right? Of the world, of his resurrection, right? Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in this series, till we end, we're going to progress on that word promise. You know that? When we now talk about the promised land, you now see what the promised land really is. It's the same promise, whether promised land or promise or your seed. Here's that. It's the same thing, but we'll look at it. So when we're discussing the promised land, we'll look at it together. Jonas, and we discover that it's just one promise. Just the same promise. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So where are we? Verse 13, right? So he said they all died in faith, not having received the promise. So meaning it was not possible. Do you understand? Look at verse 39. He said, all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Hallelujah. They did not receive the promise while they were still alive. Do you understand me in the earth? Do you understand? But verse 40 tells us that they received it now. Hallelujah. Look at verse 40. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Do you understand me? We'll look at that. That will be next 2 weeks. It's part of what we'll talk about next 2 weeks. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, the whole died in hope of that promise and did not receive it. They all died in hope of that promise. So, what does this tell you? It tells you that in the Old Testament, I will find faith as hope in the promise of God. So faith in the Old Testament should be hope in the promise of God. Right? And earlier on, we just said it is hope of the resurrection of Christ, right? Right? That's what we said earlier on. So we'll find faith as hope in the promise of God. And the promise of God will be in the reality of the accomplishment of Christ. Remember, what is the accomplishment of Christ? His resurrection. Right?
Yes.
So, that hope will be... Sorry, the promise of God will be the reality of the resurrection. Let's put it like that. We'll take it off from there tomorrow. The promise of God, which we said is not promises. God does not have promises. He has promised he will never fail you. I will follow you. No. Hallelujah. The man today should not sing that. Do you understand me? Do you understand? God does not have promises. God promised and he has fulfilled. Do you understand me? So the promise is not promises, it is promise. It's singular. Glory to God. So that promise will be in the reality of the resurrection of Christ. Or you call it the accomplishment of Christ. The resurrection of Christ. So the promise is what? Resurrection of Christ.
or will be in the reality of the resurrection of Christ. Leave it like that.
Let me add that adjective.
In the reality of the promise of Christ. Reality of the resurrection of Christ.
So, when God would tell Abraham, leave your father's house to the land of promise, we're here, we're going to promised land. It will be what? The resurrection. It will be in the reality of the resurrection. Do you understand that?
To be in the reality of the resurrection.
Glory to God. So, in the Old Testament, faith is what? Hope in what God will do, right? Today, faith in the gospel will be in what God has done in Christ Jesus. He said he would do it, and he did it. So faith today is what? In what Christ has done. So faith today will be what God said he would do, and he has done it. And what God said he would do that he has done, it shows God's faithfulness to his words, right? So when you hear God is faithful, it means God is faithful in what? In the fact that he said Christ will come, he will die, and he will resurrect, he did it, right? So it will be faith. When you hear God is faithful, it will be God is faithful in his saying he will do, he has done. Hope you get that. What he said he will do, he has done. So God is faithful. When you hear God is faithful, he is faithful in the sense that he has done what he said he will do. Hallelujah. Yeah. And what is that? Christ raised from the dead, salvation of man. Do you understand? Salvation of man. In this series, we'll dwell very well on the resurrection of Christ. We'll dwell very well, we'll see today very well. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So, if you say, in 1 Corinthians 1:9, look at 1 Corinthians 1:9. He says in 1:9, he says, God is faithful, by whom you were called to fellowship of his Son Jesus our Lord. He said, God is faithful. When you hear God is faithful, it implies what? He said it and he did it. Right? Right? Glory to God. So when you hear God is faithful, in 2 Corinthians 1:18, he said, God is faithful. When you hear God is faithful, it is in the fact that he said he would do it and he did it. Right? Hallelujah. What he promised, he fulfilled. So he has fulfilled his promise. Oh Lord, you promised me. Be careful, because he has fulfilled his promise. Hallelujah. You promised that you will carry my load. Which load? You better not carry your thing. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? He said it, he has done it. God is faithful. So our faith today, or faith in itself, is faith in God's faithfulness. So in the Old Testament, faith will be in what God said he would do. Hallelujah. That is God's faithfulness. So faith is in God's faithfulness. So when you hear, now faith is the summary of this, for it is faith in God's faithfulness. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in what he said, he did it. So faith is in God's faithfulness. Our faith is in God's faithfulness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we've come to the end of today. Glory to God. Have you learned something? Turn to someone.